with Dion and Alan.
Now, Alan, I've heard it said that the Bible is one of the most abused tools that Christians have. And I've certainly experienced that in my own life and in my ministry. And what I'd like to know is, how do you use the Bible?
Well, thanks, Dion. The Bible really has been the most bloody book, meaning that it has been used to cause so much pain and suffering in the world, probably more so than any other book. It's been used to condemn war. It's been used to support slavery, sexism, you name it. The book has been misused like that. I'll give you an example. In Rwanda, 1993, they took a survey. They said 97% of the population read this book, believed in this book, said, "This is our book." And yet in 1994, nearly 1 million people are killed in that nation where 97% of the people said, "We've read the book." So we've got to ask ourselves, how are people reading this book? It was given to us as this incredible, awesome gift by God to bring life. As Jesus comes to give us life, so the Bible is given to us to bring life, to bring light, to bring love in the world. And yet we have used it to bring death, darkness, and destruction in the world. So I agree with your statement. The Bible has been one of the most abused books in the world's history.
Now, Alan, if I listen to you there, then I would say, as many people who are not Christians would say, then, gee, you know, is this book any good? Is there anything that we could use it for? I mean, what is the critical problem, you think?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I trust that this Bible are God's inspired word to bring life and light and love into the world. It really is. It's the most incredible document of God's relationship with a particular group of people called the Hebrews and walking with them through history. And we see this incredible relationship and journey. And just like any relationship, as a parent-child relationship, the relationship grows. The child learns more and more about mom and dad. The parents also learn about the child. And as their characters develop, so the relationship deepens. And the relationship changes. I may have a thought about mom and dad today that in 5 years' time, I may actually change and say, sure, I thought mom and dad was like that. But in actual fact, now I see them in a different light. And so Scripture then is this very honest document of this family love story between God and this people. And as they learn new things about this God, they write it down. The one thing they don't do, though, they don't erase their previous thoughts. They keep going. So now what we have is we've got this document with a progression of understanding of God, with allowing us now who read the book to be able to take some of those concepts and latch onto them. Meanwhile, that concept that we're latching onto is outdated for the very people in the book. It was an old understanding. Can I give you an illustration?
Yeah, please. I'd love to hear it.
You know, sometimes parents, they normally put the child on the kitchen doorpost, right? And they mark off how high the child is, how tall the child is. So 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, they say, "Come here on your birthday," and they write down, they mark it. And as the child gets older, you see 5, 6, 7 years old, eventually the child gets a teenager and says to the parents, "Get a life, I'm not doing this anymore." Now, notice the parents do not erase the previous marks. So when the child's 7, they don't erase the mark at 3 or 4. In fact, you want those marks so that you can see how tall you've grown in the years. Now, the Bible marks their understanding of God and doesn't erase it. Eventually, I believe, Jesus comes along, who is the full stature, or as we'd say, the full revelation, the complete image of God, God in human form. But in the Scriptures, there are many smaller understandings of God. That, here's the danger, Dion, that we can latch onto those smaller understandings and say, "This is God." Would you like some textual examples?
Give me one of those. I'd love to hear just one before we move on to our next section.
Leviticus 20, it speaks of, if you find an adulteress, stone them. It's there in the Bible. It's biblical. We can get to John chapter 8. They find an adulteress. They are being biblical. They do what Leviticus says. They get stones. They surround her. They're about to stone her. What does Jesus say? Those without sin cast the first stone. They put them down. if you, you know, she leaves, forgiven, goes sin no more. Now, both of those stories are in the Bible. So the question, here's the thing. We are not called to be biblical. We're called to be Christ-like. Not everything in the Bible is Christ-like. So what we have to ask ourselves, and here's the real question, to help us to use the Bible in a life-giving way rather than a death or destruction or dark way, is to ask ourselves the question, would Jesus agree with the interpretation of Scripture that we have come to?
Wow. I mean, that's profound to think about. So the Bible is this incredible document that gives us a wonderful insight into God's relationship with people. It's a progressive, growing document, but we have to be careful about how we use it and approach it. So in our next session, we're going to look at how we can use the Bible in a more responsible way.
Would you like to discuss this with us? Text us on +27 782 785 300. Or for more information, please visit www.manorandmercy.org.